This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Yisai. Welcome to the Kollel Agudat Pirka here in Kew Garden Hills, New York. Parshas Chayisara. So there's an expression, a well-known expression. It's so well-known that it may not even exist. But there's this refrain that is common parlance, Bra Kara Davua. A son are the legs of the father. It's an expression. If you look in the compilation, Michlal Ma'amarim U'Piskamim, so they don't actually bring a makar. They just say Shagar B'fi HaKol. It's something that everybody says. But the truth is, does not appear in the Chumash, does not appear in the Mishnah, nor does it appear anywhere. It does not say it anywhere in the Tar Shel Peh. It comes from a Gemara. The Gemara says something similar to that. The Gemara says, Yoyresh Kara Davuhu. An inheritor is the leg of the father. An inheritor is the leg of the father, but the expression is a son is the leg of the father. But either way, I want to try to explain why do we use this expression, Bra Kara Davua, that a son is the leg of the father. The leg is not necessarily the most important part of the body. Actually, it's quite the opposite. It's quite an unimportant part of the body. Why do we say that a child are the legs of the father? A person could last without legs. You say the child are the internal organs of the father. The child are the roisha of the father. What is this expression that bra kara davua? Interestingly, you know, in the Parshas Toldos, so we have Yaakov Avinu puts on his best Esav costume and he goes in front of his father to try to get the brachos. And his father notices from the subtleties of expression that this doesn't seem to be Esav. He's using words that would not seem to indicate that this is Esav. Rashi explains that when Yitzchak says, HaKol Kol Yaakov, Vayadayim Yidei Esav, what threw Yitzchak off was, firstly, Yaakov Avinu said, please. He said, Kumna. Secondly, Yaakov Avinu invoked the name of Hashem. He said, Kihikra Hashem. But we've pointed out in the past that there's another nuance of difference between the way that Yaakov spoke and the way Esav spoke. Yaakov said, Kumna, get up, please. He spoke to his father, second person. Kumna, directly, get up. On the other hand, Esav said, Yaakov Avi, will the father get up? He spoke to his father, third person. So we pointed out that Rav Nosson Adler in the Sefer Taras Emes says, from here we learn, that Gentiles speak to their parents differently than the way Jews speak to their parents. Gentiles speak to their parents third person. Yaakov Avi, will the Tata get up? But Yidden, says Rav Nosson Adler, don't speak to their parents that way. Yidden speak to their parents directly. Kumna. And the Chassam Sofer explains, that's because by Goyim, there's a generation gap. There's a separation. There's a havdalah bein av levnai. There's no connection. There's no dveikus between a father and a child. There's no concept that a child is brakaro devavua. The child are the legs of the father. Mashen kein by Yisrael, there's a concept brakaro devavua. A child is so connected to a father, it is not appropriate in Klal Yisrael to speak to a parent third person. That's a Chassam Sofer, who's Masber, Rav Nosson Adler. But we have this expression, bra kara davua. Why do we refer to the child as the legs of the father? Now I'm going to speak out a question. When you hear this question, you're going to kick yourself, but don't do it too hard.
That's what you need a leg for.
Exactly. In Parshas Toldos, So, Yaakov Avinu was making cholent, right? Yaakov Avinu was cooking the stew. And Esav comes in, and Esav is starving. Esav is hungry. You know, when you smell cholent, that's what could happen, right? And Esav says, Haliteni na min ha'adayim ha'adayim hazeh, ki oyef anoichi, al kein kara shemai edayim. Okay. Now, let's think for a moment. How old were Yaakov and Esav at this time? So, l'chayra, you would say, v'yigdulu hanarim, it says they grew up. So Rashi says, v'yigdulu hanarim, how old were they when v'yigdulu hanarim? Rashi says, "Kozman shayu ketanim loy hayu nikarim b'maseim bein adam edaktik b'hemativam kivon shenasu b'nei yud gimel shana zepirish sabatim in roshes zepirish la'avodazara." So presumably they were 13 years old. And then it says, "Vayozid Yaakov nozid, vayavayesim nasan." Now, why was Yaakov making the stew of beans on this day? So Chazal say it was the day that of the Petira of Avraham Avinu. So how old were Yaakov and Esav? It seems they were 13 years old. That's what we just said. No, I didn't say 15. I said 13. That's what the Torah says. It says vayigdulu, and then it says vayozid Yaakov nozid. Presumably they were 13 years old. So let's make a cheshbon. How old was Yitzchak? When Avraham, how old was Avraham when Yitzchak was born? So we just read that. Avraham ben Meah Shana, Leda says Yitzchak benai. So Avraham was 100 when Yitzchak was born. How old was Yitzchak when Yaakov and Esav were born? So let's think for a moment. How old was Yitzchak at the Akedah? 37. And then how old was he when he married Rivka? 40, right? Because he had to wait for until until Rivka was Roy Labia. And then he waited 10 years until she was Ruyal Hiroyon. And then he waited another 10 years until she was an acclaimed Akara. So Yitzchak was 60 years old when Yaakov and Esav were born. And now Yaakov and Esav are how old? 13. And how old? And this is the day of the Petira of Avraham Avinu. But how's that possible? We're missing either 2 or 3 years. Because Avram was 100 when Yitzchak was born. Yitzchak was 60 when Yaakov was born. The Yaakov and Esav are 13 years old. And it says he was cooking the Sudas Havra. He was cooking the Sudas Havra. What's going on over here? We're missing 2 years in the lifetime of Yitzchak. We have a missing 2 years. Okay, what?
The same day.
But not the same year. It's your turn. And it says they were 13 years old, and it doesn't say another 2 years passed. So if you want to say 2 years passed, that's one way to answer the question. But presumably, without any added information, we have a right to assume it happened at that time. Okay, let's continue further. So in the beginning of this week's parasha, Yitzchak, where Avraham is coming to the Levaya of Sarah Yemenu. Now, where is Avraham coming from? When Avraham is returning from the Levaya, where is Avraham Avinu coming from? So he's coming from the Akedah, sort of, not exactly, because at the end of Parshas Vayera, where does Avraham go at the end of the Akedah? He goes to Beersheba. The pasuk says, "Vayoshav Avraham el Ne'arav." Avraham returns to his lads. Who are his lads? Eliezer and Yishmael. Vayakumu vayelchu yachdav. And they get up and they go together. Be'er Shava, vayeshav Avraham be'er Shava. Then, the beginning of, that's the end of Parshas Vayera. Parshas Vayera ends that Avraham returns to Be'er Shava. Vayelchu yachdav be'er Shava, vayeshav Avraham be'er Shava. Then the beginning of Chaye Sarah. Vayiyu Chaye Sarah. Vatama Sarah b'Kiryas Arba. And Vayavoy Avraham l'spoid l'sarah v'levkoysa. Now let's address the following question. Avraham came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. So that itself is out of order. That's backward. Why would the pasuk say he came to eulogize and to cry? We know the Gemara says in Ma'id Katan, Dav Chav Zayin Amid Beis, Shloisha Yamim l'bchi, Shiva Yamim l'hespid, Shloisha Yamim l'gehos ve. That means 3 days for crying, 7 days for eulogy, and 30 days you can't press your clothing, you can't launder your clothing. That means first comes crying, and then comes hesped. So why does the pasuk say, Vayavai Avraham l'spoid l'sara v'liv kaisa? This is the kasha of Tosfos in the Tosfos HaShalim. So the Tosfos' first answer is, that when the Gemara says, Shiva Yomim l'hesped, it doesn't mean 7 days after 3 days of Bechi, it means 3 days of crying, and all 7 days are hesped, including the first 3 days. So hesped is also appropriate for the beginning. But the first answer of Tosfos seems to be difficult, because after all, the first 3 days are for crying, and you can't cry afterwards, but you could eulogize. So chronologically, you should first say crying, and then hesped. So Tosfos gives a second answer. Tosfos says, where was Avraham Avinu coming from? He's coming from the Akedah. You think he got from the Akedah to Chevron immediately? It took him time. How long did it take him? It took him 3 days. So by the time he got to the Levaya, the 3 days of crying were over, and the family began being maspid. So Avram Avinu joins the family in the last 4 days of Hesped, and then when the 7 days of Hesped were complete, Avram Avinu says, well, I missed the first 3 days of crying, so Avram Avinu cried for 3 days. In other words, you're right, typically it's Bechi and then Hesped, but in this situation, because Avram Avinu missed the 3 days of Bechi, so he first did the Hesped and then he did the Bechiah. Just one question on the second answer of Tosfos, and by the way, the Netziv says the same shot in the Hamek Davar, is that it doesn't take 3 days to get from Har HaMoriah to Hebron. How long does it take? It's a one-day trip. The Ramban writes that from Yerushalayim to Hebron is Karoiv Ma'oid, the Ramban says. And the Kaftar of Aferach, you know who the Kaftar of Aferach was? Rav Ashturi HaParchi, one of the early Rishonim who traveled the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael and wrote about, he writes that from Yerushalayim to Hebron is a one-day travel. So what's Tosfos saying? It took 3 days. Bechlal, what's Tosfos saying? Avraham Avinu was not coming from Har HaMoriah, he was coming from Be'er Sheva. But that's the answer to the question. He was coming from Har HaMoriah, but he wasn't headed immediately to Hebron. He was going to Be'er Sheva. He didn't know perhaps yet that Sarah died. How long does it take from Yerushalayim to Be'er Sheva? That's a trip. That's a two-day trip. So Avram goes from Yerushalayim to Be'er Sheva, 2 days. Then he gets the news about Levaya. He heads up 1 day. It took 3 days. By the time he got there, the Bechi was over. So he joined in the Hesped and then he did the Bechi after. Fine. But there's one individual who's conspicuously absent from the whole story. Yitzchak. The end of Vayera. Vayashav Avraham el Na'arav. Avraham returns to his lads. Yeah, what about the person who he almost killed at the Akedah? Where is he? Where did he go? Then Vatama Sarah. Sarah died. Bekiryas Arba hi Chevron. Vayavai Avraham lispay the Sarah. Now, wait a second. Upon whose shoulder does it fall to eulogize? Who is the primary? Who has the primary obligation to eulogize for a relative? The son, especially if you're the only son. So where in the world is Yitzchak Avinu? That's what today's shir is about. Where did Yitzchak disappear to? And the Torah very, very cleverly completely omits any mention of Yitzchak after the Akedah. His name is not mentioned. Here, Vayikra Avraham... Maybe Avram didn't listen to the Malach. The Malach said, "Don't kill him," but maybe Avram didn't listen. So we're about to learn that, contrary to what they taught you in yeshiva, that Yitzchak survived the Akedah. And contrary even to what we've said in the past, that maybe he died right before Avram put the knife on his neck, there are other opinions of what happened at the Akedah. And let's proceed a little bit further. Now we go to Parshas Toldos. And remember we said that Yaakov came into the room, and Yitzchak, he thinks, who is this? Is it Yaakov? Is it Esav? And then Esav comes into the room. Vayorach es reach begodov. Vayorach es reach begodov. Look in Parshas Toldos, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Yitzchak smells the fragrant aroma of his garments. And this is, it's not in the correct place. Pasuk Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayigash, Vayishakloi, Vayorach es reach begodov, Vayivarche, Vayimer Re'ei Reach Benik Reach Soda, Asher Berchoi Hashem. Yitzchak smells the begodim of Yaakov. Says Rashi, it smelled good. These are goatskin. There's nothing worse than goatskin. The worst smell in the world, the most horrible smell in the world, is the smell of goatskin. From here we learn that the smell of Gan Eden entered with Yaakov Avinu. So one simple question. Okay, that's very nice that the smell of Gan Eden entered with Yaakov Avinu, but how does Yitzchak know what Gan Eden smells like? Oh, that's what Gan Eden smells like. How does he know? That's what, maybe Gan Eden smells like something else. How does Yitzchak know? How did Yitzchak know that the smell of Gan Eden entered with him? So comes Megala Amukos in the beginning of Parshas Chayisara, and the Megala Amukos says that there's a machloikis in Chazal. Where did Yitzchak go? One opinion is he went to the Yeshiva Shei Me'ever. But others say no. Yitzchak Avinu came from Gan Eden. What was he doing in Gan Eden? Says the Megala Amukos, we have a pasuk and a Tanaitic source that supports those who say Yitzchak came from Gan Eden. That he was there for 3 years. From the moment he was put on the altar, until he was given his shidduch. The pasuk that supports he went to Gan Eden is the pasuk Vayavay Avraham Lispoy the Sarvel of Kaisa. But what about Yitzchak? Why didn't Yitzchak come to his mother's Levaya? After all, Halay Achas Hilaima, he's an only child. Shouldn't he have been at his mother's Levaya? Even if he would have had 10 siblings, he should have been at his mother's Levaya. Certainly if he's an only son. But the answer is Yitzchak was not in the world. He was not around. That's why. And now, Rabbi Yisai, let's take a look in the end of this week's parasha. We're going to see something absolutely astounding. So, finally, Eliezer goes to the house of Lavan and Mesuel, and he secures the shidduch, and they agree, they send this little girl together with Eliezer. By the way, an interesting thing I saw. So, Lavan gives a bracha to this kid. What bracha does Lavan give to his sister? Achaisenu at hayi la'alfei revava. Our sister, you should be thousands and myriads. Yeah, very interesting bracha. Vayivarchu es Rivka vayomru la. Achaisenu, our sister, at hayi la'alfei revava. And by the way, we say this bracha at a chasana. We give the bracha at a chasana. Achaisenu at hayi. Why do we pick the bracha of love and basuel to give it at a chasana? So the Chasam Sofer learns this is a very important bracha. This is the bracha that Klal Yisrael was given. That what? V'heim revivois Ephraim, v'heim alfei Menashe. So this is the bracha, this is where it comes from. Achesena ad hayila alfei revava. But the others say that Lavan had a little bit of a sinister kavan over here. Because we know most children end up being like the mother's brother. So Lavan was giving a bracha like this. My sister, there should be more people like me around in this world. Acheseinu, you should have thousands of offspring. Acheseinu, ad hayil, alfei revava. There should be a lot more Lavans around in the world would be a better place if there are more people like me. But be it as it may, so she rides back on the camel. Vayikach ho'eved es Rivka vayilach. Now Yitzchak was coming. V'yitzchak ba mibay. Yitzchak was coming, be'er lachai ro'i. The well of the living that sees. V'hu yoyshev bi'eretz ha'negev. Yitzchak was living in the south. So first of all, why do I need to know he's living in the south? We know. He was with Avram Avinu in Be'er Sheva. And we never said until now he was in the south. All of a sudden the Torah needs to identify where Be'er Sheva is. Be'er Sheva is Be'eretz HaNegev. And what is Rivka's reaction when she sees Yitzchak? Vatisa Rivka say now. Rivka lifts up her eyes. Vateres Yitzchak. Vatipoel me'al agamo. She falls off the camel. Why did she fall off the camel? I mean, have you ever seen strange people in your life? I would assume so. Have you ever seen someone so strange that you literally fell off your chair? I once had an adrasha. I was giving a drasha, and I made a joke. A guy literally laughed so hard he fell off his chair, and he had to leave the shul. Anyway, and it wasn't really that funny. I don't know why he was laughing. Yeah. What was the joke? I'll tell you what the joke was. I'll remember. If I remember, I'll tell you. Vati Sarifka, so Rivka lifts up her eyes. Vatera es Yitzchak. She sees Yitzchak. Vatipa me'al ha'gamal. She falls off the camel. So Rashi says, "Vatipol hishmita atzmal arz." She lowered herself to the ground. Kitargumai ve'israchinas hidsa atzmal arz. She lowered herself to the ground. V'lo higia arakarka. It's interesting that Rivka literally. Now the Rashi before says, "Vateras Yitzchak ra'asai say." She saw him, hador, beautiful, v'toya mipadav, and she was astonished by the way he looked. Like, what was so beautiful about Yitzchak? What was so astonishing about the way he looked? And she falls off the camel. I guess if you grew up with Lavan and Besuel, everyone you know looks like a sinister Russia, you know, a mobster, and you see a tzaddik. But exactly, what was so astonishing about Yitzchak? Do we find that when Sarah met Avraham, she went out of her kim, she fell off the camel? When Rachel met Yaakov, she didn't fall. What was so astonishing about Yitzchak? And why does it say he's coming from the land of the Negev? So the Likutei Mamarim, Shvilei Pinchas, suggests that based on this tradition of the Megala Mukais, that Yitzchak Avinu went to Gan Eden to recuperate. He spent 3 years convalescing in Gan Eden. And that's the pshat, he was living in the land of the Negev. By the way, where else in Tanakh do we find this expression, the Negev? In Shoiftim, in Parak Aleph, there was a woman by the name of Achsa. Achsa was a daughter of Kalev. And Kalev made a deal that whoever conquers the city of Kiryat Sefer, I'm going to give them my daughter as a wife. And nobody was able to conquer it until his brother came along, Asniel ben Kenaz. He conquered Kiryat Sefer, which the Gemara in Tamura means. He said that he was able to restore the 3,000 halachos that were forgotten during the mourning of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so she comes to her father after she marries this guy, and she says, "Dad, give me blessing. Ki eretz hanegev nosati. You gave me literally a very dry land." But Chazal say, this guy, he's a great guy, but he can't make a buck. He is menugav mikol toiv. He is dried out from any good. All he has is Torah. He's just Torah. He's not a learner-earner. He's just a learner without being an earner. He's menugav mikol toiv. So eretz hanegev implies only ruchnias without any gashmias. So what does it say about Yitzchak? Where was Yitzchak living? Eretz HaNegev. He's living in a place where it's dry from any gashmias. Where is that? He's in Gan Eden. Gan Eden is Mole Torah, but is Menugav Mikol Toiv. He's in the place Be'er Lachai, of the truly alive, of the Tzadikim Gemurim. That's where Yitzchak was coming from. Look at number 9. V'Yitzchak ba, v'yetze Yitzchak l'sar b'sar l'fnoi sarav. Meheichan Yatza, where did he come from? Mi Gan Eden. V'chein b'medrash. By the way, when Yitzchak suspected that Eliezer brought Rivka back, he thought that Eliezer, on the long trip, maybe did something to Rivka, mistreated her, and it turned out that he didn't, so he was choish at him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "What am I going to do to this Eved who was suspected?" So Hashem told Malachi Asharis, and he brought him into Gan Eden. So Yitzchak was leaving Gan Eden and Eliezer was coming into Gan Eden. This is what it means, Lifnois Erev, Lifnois Ha'arvus Kedei Likach Rivka. Okay, bottom line is, if you look in the Shachal HaTorah, who should not be confused with the Shach and Yoredeya, Shachal HaTorah was written by one of the Gurehu Arizal. He also says explicitly, Yitzchak was coming from Gan Eden. Furthermore, the Shach writes further, number 10, Vayovay Avram Lispoid V'Livkais. Where was Yitzchak? He says, "Shamati shenimtza b'zayar, shema shalayhevi Yitzchak imay, lefi sheshachat boy Avraham roiv shnayim." Not like Rashi. Avraham shechted the majority of his two simanim. So now where does he go? He has to go to a hospital. The hospitals are dangerous places. You know, it's a miracle. You have to bench goyimo when you come out of the hospital that you survive the hospital. So the Malachim took him to Gan Eden, the Rapoisa, and he spent 3 years there. And when he came out of the hospital, he made the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mechaye Hamesim. Oh, says the Shach, says the Yismach Moshe, when Yaakov came into Yitzchak, and he smelled like Gan Eden, Yitzchak said, "Oh, you smell like Gan Eden. How did Yitzchak know what Gan Eden smelled like?" Because he was there, he remembered the smell. You know, when once you smelled something, there's, you know, the memory, smell memory stays with you forever. Yitzchak knew exactly what Gan Eden saw there. Furthermore, Rabbi Yisai, the Rishonim say the same thing. It's not only in the Kabbalim. The Chizkuni writes that Avram returned to his Na'arim. V'Yitzchak heichan halach. Where did Yitzchak go? Says Chizkuni, Nitman beGan Eden shalosh shanim. The Chizkuni on this week's parsha, Vayitze Yitzchak, Meheichan, where did he go from? Migan Eden, he came from Gan Eden, Shehoyosham, Mishas HaAkeda, Ad Achshav, Shaloishanim. Now, fasten your seatbelts. So Yitzchak was in Gan Eden. Now in this world, most people in this world, different than animals. Animals walk on all four. But human beings, they stand with their feet on the ground and their head up. Yeah, their head up in the sky. That's how people walk. Unless in India, sometimes people stand on their heads, but for the most part, people have their heads up and their feet on the ground. But not in Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, people are upside down. Gan Eden, people walk with their heads on the floor and their feet up in the sky. Who says this? Tosfos. Tosfos in the Riva says, if you look at number 14, Vatipo me'ala gomol. You know why she fell off her camel? It wasn't Yitzchak's face. She sees a man walking to her upside down. Because, Tosfos says, he was coming from Gan Eden. Now, if you see a big tzaddik coming to you, it's a little scary. But if you see him walking to you with his feet up in the air, walking to you upside down, that's even more scary. Look at number 14, the fish. Sharasa Yitzchak Shayabami Gan Eden. Vahayaba Kedarach Shahamesim Holchim Ragleim Lamala. That's Rashi, says Tosfos. That's Pshat in Rashi. Rashi says, Ra Oisai Hadur. So we always translate Rashi, you look in your art scroll, Hadur means beautiful. No, Hadur means upside down. Hadur, like Hajjah, return, around, turned around. Pshat in Rashi, when Rashi says, Ra Oisai Hadur, V'tama Olav, that's the Pshat in Rashi, says Tosfos. V'Rashi Perush, Shara Oisai Hadur, V'toya Mipanav. You think you could just do a turnaround like that?
Why
So this gentleman wants to know, why in Gan Eden do people walk upside down? So that will be the subject of today's share. Why do people walk upside down in Gan Eden? What? He was out of Gan Eden, yeah, but he didn't completely transition. You know, when you come back from outer space, right? It's a problem. One of the dangers of coming back from outer space is, first of all, when there's no gravity, the shape of the eyeball completely changes into a very oval shape. It's very dangerous. The whole body has to readjust to the new atmosphere. So apparently, I mean, look, if I would have come in today and I had Akasha, why was Rivka so surprised? And I would have been Mechadesh that, you know what? It must be in Gan Eden they walk upside down. So that, you know, what's that worth? I'm telling you what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, this is how, by the way, is not, if you look in the Shmuel, when Shmuel communicated with his necromancy and with the magic, the individual he was communicating with, it seems like they were, Shaul was upside down. Like Tosfos says.
Shmuel was upside down.
That Shmuel came back from the Olam HaEmes, Hadur, upside down. Okay, so what we want to discuss now is, look, and Tosfos says, V'yesh mefarshim shehi ra'asa oisa yifei tayar. V'yesh mefarshim Hadur lashon kibay lemahadar. Kibay lemahadar, when he wanted to go back, shayar raglov lemala k'maysha deprishas. So let's discuss this, because we started this year that why do we say bra karadavua? Why is a child considered the legs of his father? Why the legs? You know, that doesn't seem to be a very respectable allegory. The child are the legs of the father. So the pasuk says in Zechariah, Koy amar Hashem tzavakos. So says the Lord, Master of Hosts. In bedrachai telech, if you go in my ways, V'yemes mishmarti tishmar, and you guard my guarding. V'gam ato todin es beisi, and you judge, and you govern my house. V'gam tishmar es chatzeroi. V'nasati l'cha malachim. I will give you the ability to walk bein ha'imdim ha'ila, among these standing. What is this referring to? God tells the Navi, the malachi hasharis are called oimdim. Why are the malachi hasharis called oimdim? Because an angel remains an angel, will always be an angel. Whatever high madriga they're on, they will plateau forever, that they will always remain on that level. But we know that a human being is a hoilech. A human being is either going up or going down. There's no plateau. You can never stay on the same madriga. Either you're going up or you're going down. There's no such thing as remaining on the same madriga. A human being has to be a mahalach, a hoilech. Sezuch sam sofer. But there's a problem. But what about the tzaddik? The tzaddik, after he passes away, so then what? Then he's plateaued forever, he can never grow. We know that the Gra on his deathbed, he cried over the mitzvah of tzitzis, that he said that in this world for a few bucks, you could be mekayim in the midst of tzitzis and gain eternal olam haba. But once you get upstairs, there's nothing you could do to improve your situation in olam haba. But nevertheless, a tzaddik, his maisim tovim, have what's called residual income. Residual income. You know, some people, they have businesses that once the business gets going, you make money on your own. So too, a person could do maisim tovim, they have influence on other people, have children, have descendants, have grandchildren, have talmidim, have hashpa, have maisim that people learn from, and then he has residual income. So Rebbe Hashem tells the Navi, I will give you mahalchim, I will allow you to be a hoilech, even when you get up to Gan Eden, among all the oimdim, among all the malachi hasharis. Look at number 16, the Chassam Sofer writes, Ki hatzadik acharei moisai, einoi mahalach. He can't move anymore. He can't grow. He can't rise. Ki hu chavshi mea mitzvois. He's pater from mitzvois. He's free from mitzvois. Omnam b'shehemid talmidim harbe. Someone who has a large influence and can call out mitzvos ashayasu heim, whatever mitzvos they do, avalei kilu hu asam. And now he is going lamala, lamala, lamala. That's why we say to me chachomim, ein lohem menucha ba'olam haba. They have no respite because they're constantly going higher and higher. This is the pshat, says the Chassam Sofer. V'zehu v'nasati l'cham malchim. I will allow you to be a hoilech even when you're among the oimdim. You know, when you want to make somebody comfortable, if somebody is on a very high madrega and they're with people on a lower madrega, the people on a lower madrega are going to feel very uncomfortable with them. Because, you know, sometimes a person feels very overshadowed if they're next to a great person. They feel very humbled. Overwhelmed. So Avram Avinu, when he's serving the angels, when he's serving the malachim in his tent, Avram is a hoilech. He didn't want to make the angels who are an oimed feel bad. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bardishev says, V'hu oimed aleihem. He made believe he was an oimed. He made believe he was plateauing so as not to make the angels feel bad. V'hu oimed aleihem, says Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. But be it as it may, for the most part, this world is a difficult world. Yafesh ha'achas shokaras ruach ba'olam haba mikol chayi olam hazeh. But on the other hand, yafesh ha'achas tshuva ma'asam tovim ba'olam hazeh mikol chayi olam haba. Because once you get there, you're stuck. But there's an etzah. There's a way for a person to continue to be in a hoilech, even in olam haba. You could still have legs even in olam haba. How? Bra kara davua. The child is the legs of the father. The child allows the parent to continue to be a hoilech even in olam haba. That's how we use that comparison, that the bra kara davua. So, suggest the Sefer Likute Mamorim Shvile Pinchas. If the concept of bra kara davua is such that the only way to be a hoilech in the olam ha'emes is al yedei one's influence and hashpa and children, perhaps this gives us an insight into the focus of those who are in this world as opposed to the focus of those in the olam ha'emes. See, in this world, we're always focused on the shemayim. Da ma lamala mimcha. Know what's above you. Da lefnei miyata oimed. Realize Ribbono Shel'olam is an ayin roya. Us in this world, we're focused on the heavens. The Ribbono Shel Olam is watching us. He knows our actions. He knows our thoughts. He knows our inclinations. We are focused on the Shamayim. Atah Elokim HaShamayim Imal. But in the heavens, those, the neshamas in the heavens, they have a different focus. Because they're stuck. They're oimdim. But they have one hope. They have one ability to rise up in Shamayim, to rise up in Gan Eden, to elevate themselves. And that is, they upstairs in the Shamayim, their head is lamata and their raglayim are lamala. What does that mean? What, they walk on their heads, literally? It means their focus is down here in this world. They're looking, they're saying, please, my masim, my talmidim, my children, please, what could you do for me? Because up here, there's nothing anybody could do for me. There's nothing anybody upstairs could do for a person once they get there. So in this world, it's v'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. Our focus is on what's going on upstairs. But upstairs, they're ra oisai hador. They are lahepach. They're looking downstairs. What could be performed? What could be accomplished in this world that could give an aliyah to my neshama, could give an aliyah to my existence? This is the suggestion of why did we have this idea and this machshava that in Shamayim, they're roisham lamata viraglam lamala. Interestingly, in the Sefer Panei Achraza, now the Panei Achraza, in number 18, the Panei Achraza is a Rishain who wrote Perush on Chumash, and he's one of the master of the secrets of the Torah. Actually, the Marsha and Shas will refer, he'll quote the Panei Achraza. Now, the name of the Panei Achraza, his name was Rabbeinu Yitzchak. And the reason why he named the Sefer Panei Achraza is because Yitzchak is Gematria 208. And so is the word Paneach. And so is the word Raza. And he figured this will be a good way to name his Sefer. After all, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes that one should allude to his name in the name of the Sefer. So he figured his name is Yitzchak, so he wrote Paneach Raza, the one who deciphers the secret. Little did he know that hundreds of years later, the son-in-law, the Maharal of Prague, wrote comments on the Paneach Raza, and his name was also Yitzchak. So the Chida writes that Bahashgacha, he named it Paneach Raza as an allusion to him and to the Magia of the Sefer Paneach Raza. So the Paneach Raza asked the same question that we've been dealing with. Let's the one of the questions we started off with. The Tema, Yitzchak Heichan Hoya, Shalai Bachaisa. Where was Yitzchak? Why didn't Yitzchak cry for his mother? Says the Paneach Raza, just like the Shachal HaTorah, V'yesh Leimar, Shekishenekad Asa Baychabura. When Yitzchak was bound, Avram made a chabura. And Yitzchak needed to recuperate and convalesce. V'amalachim eviyu l'gan Eden l'rapoisai. V'shah sham, beiz shanim. He stayed there 2 years. V'teida, here's the proof. Sharek siv v'yigdilu hanarim. It says they grew up to 13. Uferush rashi shahaya az b'nei yirgim oshanim. Ubay b'perek meis Avraham. And at that time, Avraham died. Kidei shela yira es esav yoytze letar basra. I'll tell you a very geshmakach Sam Sofer. By the way, just as an aside. Sam Sofer says, how old were Yitzchak and Yaakov at the time that Avraham died? 13 years old. 13. Yitzchak and Esav. No. Yaakov and Esav. Yeah. I don't mind being corrected, but... yeah, so Yaakov and Esau were 13 years old. Now, so what do they do for a living? They're samech al shulchan aviyam. Yeah? So Yaakov bought the birthright off of Esau. Yeah? What did he use to buy the birthright? Lentils. But they're not his. He doesn't own it. How is he kind of the Bukhar, asks Sam Sofer? He's soymech on Shulchan Aviv. Soymech on Shulchan Aviv, you don't own anything, so it's not a legal transaction. How could Yaakov buy the birthright off of Esav? Yaakov doesn't own the food. It should nullify the sale. So the Sam Sofer says, look at the great Hashgacha Pratis involved over here. Because this was the day that Avraham died. The halacha is the Sudas Havra cannot come from your own possessions. So then, how did Yitzchak get served the Sudas Havra? It's his food. Your son can't serve you the Sudas Havra. He must have given him an matana she'en li rishus bai. He gave Yaakov a gift. He said, I'm giving it to you al manas that I don't have rishus in it. I don't have ownership in it. So for the first time in Yaakov Avinu's life, Yaakov owns something. And that moment, he sees Esav is willing to give up the bechor. So Yaakov says, hey, the first time I own something, here, take the beans and I'll take the bechorah. So it was a hashkacha pratis that the Sudas Havra should take place at the moment that Yaakov needed to buy the birthright. Okay, but back to the ranch, says the Paneach Raza, they were 13 years old. But wait a second. Why did Avraham die then? So that he shouldn't see Esav go out Latarbas Ra. Vimei Avraham harei hayu kuf ayin heishanim. Avraham lived, what, 175 years. 100 years until Yitzchak was born. 60 years until Yaakov was born. And another 13 years. We're missing 2 years. We're the mystery of the missing 2 years.
Canadian.
Oh! So Rabbi Yid over here, the Roish of the welcoming committee today, is Mechadesh, that it must be that Yitzchak was in Gan Eden for 2 years. So let's think for a moment. Then how old really was Yitzchak when Yaakov and Esav were born? 62. Says Toysus Avada, he was 62. But the Torah only counts years ba'olam hazeh, not years ba'olam haba. So therefore, we don't say 62. But in reality, says Tosfos, that Yitzchak was really 62 years old. Ela oisan beishanim shal Yitzchak began Eden like hachashiv lehukra ba'amrei v'Yitzchak ben Samach uve'emes ben Samach beis hayaz. Similarly, Yaakov Avinu when he was in the yeshiva shem ve'ever, that also wasn't counted. By the way, I'll tell you two other instances, perhaps, when miraculous years in the Torah are not accounted for. Noach was how old by the Mabel?
600.
What? 600, right? 600 years old. Yeah?
Yeah.
And how many years did he live after the Mabel?
350.
And how old was he totally?
950.
It should be 951. What happened to the year in the Teva? Also, it was a miraculous existence. It was like he was in a box. We don't count that year. Maybe this would answer another great dilemma in Chumash. And that is, how old was Moshe Rabbeinu when he stood before Paray? Moshe Haya? 80 years. Moshe 80. By the way, it's an interesting thing, because typically the Torah doesn't give you birthdays. Ah, he was 80 years old when this happened. You know, why is the Torah Dafka say Moshe was 80 years old when he stood before Paray? So Zalman Sorotzkin says, this is great. If you ever had an 80th birthday party, you put this in your back pocket. Rav Zalman Sorotzkin says like this. Here, why does the Torah say that Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 when he stood before Paray? Because here's a man, he's 80 years old. You would think, you know, he's already over the hill. He already lived most of his life. But think about it. He hasn't done nothing yet. He didn't take out the Jews of Egypt. He didn't take us through the desert. He didn't give us the Torah. He didn't give us the Mon. We learn from here that when you're 80 years old, your life's just beginning. Your life's just starting. That's a good one. That's a nice one, huh?
There used to be a program, Life Begins at 80.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so Moshe was 80. And then, Rabbi Yisai, he takes the Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and we're in the Midbar for 40 years. And how long were the Makos?
1 year.
A year. So how old should Moshe Rabbeinu have been? Should have been 121 years old. Why does the Torah say he died at 120? It's Pashat Cheshbon. He was 80 when he stood before Paray, 40 years in the desert, and 1 year in Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his notes on Zvachim, says it's not true. We weren't in the Midbar 40 years. He says we were there even less than 39 years. He said 38 and a half, if you make a Cheshbon, which seems to be against the Gemara, because the Gemara says they ate the Mun exactly 40 years. But if you say this idea that a miraculous year is not added to the Cheshbon, it could be the year of Mitzrayim during the Makos, maybe didn't add. Okay, but be it as it may, let's just end off. The Shvilei Pinchas suggests that perhaps, what?
Can we see any place that somebody later took them to Gan Eden and came out again? Since other Rishon, I thought it was close to more.
There's a Gemara. The Gemara is in Psachim and Daf Nun. That's what we're going to end with. Look at number 19. Oh, good question. Good. Okay, yeah, good cue. Ki hadu Rav Yosef b'reid Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Chalash. He was sick. V'isnagid. And he got better. Ki hadar amr le'avu. My chaz, what did you see? Now, this is not exactly, because the Gemara in Baba Basra says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi went up to Gan Eden. Remember, he jumped the fence. He jumped the fence. See, even in Gan Eden, they make a wall. They made a wall in Gan Eden, and he got over the wall. But anyway, they asked him, what did you see in Gan Eden? He said, Olam hafuch ra'isi. I saw an upside-down world. Elyoinim lamata, v'tachtoinim lamala. Literally, that means those on high, those who were high in this world were low down in this world. Those who were low in this world were high in the next world. The simple pshat in that Gemara is people who in this world, people don't respect, don't think are chashiv, are very chashiv in the Olam HaEmes, and vice versa. People who others think are chashiv in this world are not reckoned in the world to come. Amar Loi, so he said, no, you didn't see an Olam Hafuch. Olam Bara Ra'isa, you saw a clear world. So the Shvilei Pinchas interprets it. What does it mean, Olam Hafuch Ra'isi? And Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no, Olam Bara Ra'isi. But based on this Riva, that in the Olam HaEmes, they walk Hafuch, they walk upside down. The he says, Ki Hamesim Einam Holchem Shamim Arosh Lamala, Kedach Shaholchem Olam Hazeh. Ela Im Arosh Lamata, Veharaglaim Lamala, Vareza Olam Hafuch. He basically says, so in Olam Hafuch, they're walking on their heads up there. It doesn't make any sense. I can't wrap my head around it. Why are they walking upside down? So Rabbi Yosef explained that it's mamish al yoinim lamata v'tachtoinim lamala. The reason they walk that way is al yoinim lamata. Those on high, their sheifa, their yearning, their focus is on down on the stairs. They're looking to see what are people accomplishing down here, as opposed to us. Art the tachtoinim, the people down here, their focus on upstairs. So Rabbi Shimon Levi said, no, Olam Bara Ra'isa, you saw a very clear world. That's the way it needs to be. That in this world, our focus is on Kol Ma'aseich Yehu L'Shem Shamayim, Da Ma'alamala Mimcha, and in Olam Haba, they need to be focused on us, because once you get upstairs, it's Yafesh Sha'achas Shotshuva Amasim Toivim Ba'olam Hazeh Mikol Chayei Olam Haba. So these are some of the behind the scenes of Parshas Chayisara. And the Ibn Shem should always give us yata deshmaya, leharois mitarosa in a fly. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.